First of all, my dear faithful, I must say that I'm glad to be here once again, and I'm happy to be in your midst, and we hope that with the grace of the Most Holy Trinity will come upon all of us and help us to be true Catholics and lead us all into heaven. Today, my dear faithful, is the celebration of the mystery of mysteries. The Holy Trinity is the source of everything in the universe. This is the first of our mysteries and the foundation of everything. The Holy Trinity is the source of our nature because we are made by Him. We were also, all of us, remade by Him when we fell in our first parents. And daily we are remade by Him when we fall out of grace. Now, it is impossible to explain sufficiently the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, and it cannot be understood because we cannot know this mystery fully, or even for that matter any mystery of the Catholic of our faith, for it would be the same as to know God Himself, which is impossible to us in this world. I may spend hours here talking about the processions and how the persons are one and yet three, and yet would not even come close to grasping this mystery. But although the knowledge is beyond us, the love is not beyond us. And in this world, it is a more perfect thing to love than to know. We don't know how things work up there, but we have an idea how He works in our lives. I'm sure that if I call any of you here, up here, all of us to be enthralled with what your love of the Trinity and God's love for you have done in your life. I myself, in the course of the years since I went back home, have seen in various missions in Nigeria the Holy Trinity working actively. For example, a person comes to discover the true faith, lives in Novo Sodo, and does everything possible to come to the Mass. Back home, we have our mission, seven in number, spread out across the southern part of the country. And when I see how much the faithful are willing to endure for the sake of the faith, I admit that only the love of God, only God's love for us, and the love of the faithful for God can cause these things to happen. Here, for example, you see some young men, average of 16 years, stubbornly insisting to stick with tradition despite pressures from parents and peers. Some other place, you see a couple struggling to protect their children from the corruption of the society. Here we see a couple making up their rules where society has failed, or rather, applying Catholic principles to their life, keeping their head and soul in a world that is ruled by Satan. Here, for example, we find some unlearned faithful in some very rural areas. Unlearned, true, but knowing very well that they must go to the true Mass. They may not know so much about the false theology and the complicated nature of the problem in which we find ourselves, but they have had enough of the falsehood and the false church. These people struggle every day from persecutions of employers, family members, friends, who unfortunately, even without knowing it, are obstacles to the faith. But the struggle is not endless, for they do not run, and we do not fight as one beating the air, according to St. Paul. It is the love of the Trinity, the love of God, God's love for them that moves them. Here also we have an old man who comes from very far. He came across us in March on the first Friday and has remained with us since, dauntless, stubbornly sticking to the faith, despite his ill health. This particular person comes from very far, difficult terrain, where you can't even find public transport, and yet he comes very early to the Mass. Sometimes he's so late going back home that he almost sleeps outside on the dust. At some other time, he's drenched by the rain. I myself have to worry often about this person, but this worry is not shared by him. For him, he has found the faith, he has found the Mass, everything else is unimportant. I see also families so poor that they walk miles just to attend the Mass. And I see some young, enlightened men and women wading courageously through the chaos until they settle down with us, despite all they've heard about celibacantism. I could go on and on, but I'm sure that you grasp the meaning of what I'm saying. It is the love of the Trinity at work. Mind you, these people do not do this struggle because of any reward that they may gain. Some are even surprised that I give them the financial assistance that Bishop Dolan gives me for this purpose. They're grateful genuinely, but it has no effect on their faith. And I have the singular privilege of seeing these people firsthand. Until date, I have really never gotten used to it. You really shouldn't pity a priest, you know. You should rather envy him with the envy of God, as St. Paul says. And also, you should pray for them, for living as they do and witnessing as they do these activities of the Most Holy Trinity. You can be sure that the priest will not be spared if he fails God in this regard. I wish all of you a blessed field of the Holy Trinity, and I pray that you love him much. Most of all, I pray that he loves you much. For it is his love and nothing else which quickens and urges us to himself. It is true that we may not all of us meet in this world, but hopefully, if we maintain the love we have of the Most Holy Trinity, we will all meet on in heaven, rejoicing and thanking him for so much which he has done for us. And I pray that Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the help of Christians, will strengthen us and obtain for us the graces that will lead us from contemplating the Trinity here below to seeing him face to face in heaven. God bless you. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.